Welcome back to the Savistas Worldwide Podcast, everybody. Man, it's been a long time. Way too long, I believe. Last time we talked, Sevilla FC still had a chance to continue their European hopes, either Champions League still kind of technically, Europa, but all that went crashing down, of course. We still had a chance at a Copa del Rey trophy, and that's all gone, of course. We also lost a couple of Sevilla FC legends, another coach, a president. So, needless to say, we got a lot to unpack in this episode, and we'll do that and a lot more. With us tonight, we've got Eddie up in Toronto, Canada. Eddie, man, how you been? Long time. Anything fun happening outside of the world of Sevilla FC?
No. It's just as bad as the men's senior team. I'm joking. Everything is fairly decent on my side. But every other team in Sevilla land is doing all right. Except for the men's senior team, so we shouldn't be all doom and gloom about how things are going.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that a little bit, about a couple of the Sevilla FC teams that are rolling a little bit. And the other team isn't doing great. I don't care what anybody says. They're not doing great. So not a Sevilla FC team, but the South Side Sevilla team, whatever you want to call them. The poop. Also, we got Steve up in Minnesota. Man, how you doing?
Hey, I'm hanging in there. Made it through the holidays relatively unscathed. And, yeah, just kicking off 2024. I don't know if it's on the right foot or not, but it's on 8 foot. So
it's been a crazy couple months, man. Just the holidays. I think that's why we haven't recorded. Just everybody's been so busy with the holidays. And then January is just kind of, you know, getting your feet back into it, and then just Sevilla, oh my God, so frustrating. And I think the last thing we really wanted to do is talk about it more. So, but during that time, our next guest with us, Tyler up in Michigan, Tyler Joseph, welcome to the program for the first time, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for allowing me to come on. It's always been a dream of mine to chat with you guys about Sevilla and our passion and why we love this team and why we're gonna win the league in some time in the future. Not this year.
Maybe. No.
No.
No. No. Tyler joined Machi's Men, our supporters group, back in 2021, I believe it was. And it's his first time here on the program, so really glad to have you. Definitely. How did you become a Sevilla fan?
So my wife, she studied abroad in Sevilla, years back. It was 2012, I believe. And she stayed with a host family who was obsessed with the team, goes to every game. So they brought her along, got her obsessed, and then she came back and we actually got married and then moved to Spain in 2018 for a year. And she in turn got me obsessed with the team. So I fell in love with the city, fell in love with the team. I don't think I've ever had like a team that I'm like, I don't care how they do. They're my team. Like, I don't want to call myself a fair weather fan, but that's, you know, by definition what I was. That's been my journey with the team, and I'm happy to have found them and Sevilla till I die.
That's awesome. It's crazy, like how just randomly, not randomly, I guess, but just once you get exposed to it, it just kind of gets its claws in you. Just can't let go. Like, it, you know, you're there for life. I mean, it's very similar to me. You know, we haven't lived in Spain, but just that passion, it just grows and grows and grows. So, is your wife going to be on a Munchies Men forum at some point?
You know, I'll try and get around there.
We need more women on there.
That's true.
We definitely need more women on there. So Sevilla, living there, what was the experience like for you living in Sevilla? Did you get to many of the matches, or Yeah, tell us a little bit about that.
It was definitely an experience I never thought I would have. I was definitely raised like homebody, you know, do your job, go home, enjoy your family. So I thought I was just going to do that in my Michigan life for the rest of my life. And then met my wife, and she's super outgoing, like world traveler. So once we got over there, bit of culture shock. You know, I didn't speak that much Spanish, you know, like high school, conversational. But it, you know, the first 2 weeks were magical. It's Sevilla, you know, I've never lived in a place with palm trees before, and I thought that was fantastic. And then, you know, that it kind of settled in like, oh, this is my life for the next year. And, you know, it's hard to find work. So I just did a bunch of like English tutoring. So that was a different kind of setup. And then, about halfway through the trip, I had this like epiphany. I'm like, I got to stop wasting my time. I got to get out there. I got to enjoy my time. So, I got out there and I started exploring and going for walks and, you know, just taking advantage of something I'm probably never going to be able to do again and have that year of like not being on vacation, but basically being on vacation. and so, yeah, I fell in love with the city. It's magical. I used to like wake up at 5 a.m. and go for runs and bike rides, and like nobody was awake except for the people going to bed from the night before. And it's magical to get that city basically to yourself. Highly recommend it if you're any type of early riser, just do it at least once. It's pretty incredible. But yeah, while we were there, we went to a couple matches. It was, you know, pretty expensive and on a limited fixed income. It was tough. So, but the two we went to, I got to see one of Chicharito's few goals. That was pretty cool to experience. and then, yeah, that was, did the tour. We'd walk by the stadium all the time. But, yeah, that's kind of my time there.
That's awesome. Chicharito, by the way, went back to his home, boyhood home, Guadalajara, Mexico, Chivas, which was where Sevilla played this summer in that stadium. So it was kind of cool to see that whole full circle come back around with Chicharito. But you had a summer experience with Sevilla this year too, right? Didn't you go to the Detroit match when they come to town?
Yeah, I did. They came to Comerica Park, the Tigers baseball stadium, and I got a big group of friends that were going to go and kind of turn it into a big thing. And I got like group tickets, and they asked me, they're like, do you want to go on the field? And I was like, yeah, I do. And so they got me these tickets. And then when we got there, we had to like line up, and we went into like the, you know, the guts of the stadium. And then they start like ushering us out on the field. I'm like, all right, sweet, here we go. And it was literally just walking the dirt around the stadium. We didn't get to get close to anybody, didn't get to like hear any conversations. It was just like, don't stop, keep walking, just look and be done. And so I mean, it was cool to be that close. I've never been that close to him before. But yeah, I mean, it's always nice to see him when they come to town.
That's really cool. Yeah, I hated I didn't make that match, but I couldn't convince Kristen to change our week in Guadalajara to skip over to Detroit to see Sevilla. So, yeah, she wasn't having that, so I had to play my cool there. But that's awesome, man. We're so happy to have you tonight. And Tyler's been kind of leading the charge here recently on the forum, doing some match watch parties. I don't know if you want to call them parties, but gatherings. There you go. So online gatherings, watching the game together and just kind of chatting about the match as it's happening, and just, you know, talking about life and stuff as well. So, if you got any interest in that, take a look on the forums. We've been doing them when we can. Some of these are difficult, but if you're interested, shoot me an information too if you can't find it, and I'll make sure that you get the information you need. So thanks so much for doing that. It was really fun. We did a couple together, and we had one with
Mark.
Mark, yeah, thanks. Mark in England joined us, so it was good to see him again. He's been on the podcast a long time ago. It's been a while, so good to hear from him. But, yeah, man, thanks for joining. So we'll get right into it, talk about Sevilla, try to catch up on all the craziness that's happened since we've last talked. Like I said earlier, Sevilla crashed out of Europe after losing the final match there to Linz. In the Champions League group stage, no shot at going to Europa that we would always probably win if we went to. So our only shot at Europe was to win the Copa del Rey, and we were doing pretty well. We actually picked up a couple, you know, wins there against some lower division teams, and then we had to travel to Getafe, which is never an easy feat, and actually won that match 3-1, I believe it was. Setting up a match in the quarterfinals there with Atletico Madrid. Having to travel to Atletico Madrid, I thought that was kind of a crappy draw for us there. But ended up losing 1-0. Kind of a boring match if I remember right. And just, I don't know. Anyway, crashing out. So no Europe for Sevilla next year. Our focus now is solely trying to stay up in La Liga, because since we last talked, Sevilla has won exactly one league match way back in December 18th, 3-0 over Granada. So since what we talked last, Sevilla's gone 1-5-1. They've now on their third coach of the year after firing Diego Alonso. Who was just terrible. On December 18th, Sevilla signed the La Liga journeyman, Kiki Sanchez Flores, that everybody knows from his crazy turtlenecks that he always likes to wear. But, trying to get some stability in there, hopefully trying to do something different, because Diego Alonso did not work out. So far, same with Kiki. So... I don't know. It'd be interesting to talk to the guys here about whether we might see a fourth coach before too much longer here this season. It's kind of crazy. We've also had the January transfer window started a little bit prior to that. Our club legend Fernando terminated his contract, returning to his first club, Villanova in Brazil. It's been 17 years since he left that club, and now he went back to his boyhood home there, so good for him. Left, it was mutual that they terminated, but Fernando wasn't mincing too many words when he left, saying that there was some problems here in Sevilla, so casting a little shadow there on what we all kind of know. So anyway, transfer window for Sevilla so far has been kind of slow. Got a couple guys in. Ogume, I hope I said that right. Eddie can correct me. and Hannibal from Manchester City came, or Manchester United came in, sorry, on loan. Both of those guys on loan with buy options, so that's good. But our best transfer so far has been from the academy, bringing up Isaac Romero, 23-year-old, comes in and scores 4 goals in 5 matches. So pretty impressive from that young fella to come in and do so well. Lots of rumors out there. I don't know if we'll have time to get into too much of those today, but we'll talk about the transfer window. Eddie's going to talk about the new guys that's come in, what they've shown so far. And then we had a couple guys go out so far. Gattani went to Anderlecht in the Belgian league. On loan, no option to buy, so he'll be back in 6 months unless they extend the loan somehow. But hopefully he gets some playing time. That guy needs some playing time. And our club legend, Ivan Rakitic, left here in this transfer window to Al-Shabaab. Anyway, Rakitic is probably one of my top, I don't know, 5 players all time. One of my personal favorites. I hated I didn't get to see him this summer, like when in Guadalajara in San Francisco. I saw him, but I didn't get an autograph or a photo, and I that kind of irks me. I wish I had. But Rakitic leaves the club on a free. Didn't cost the Saudi Arabian club anything. But good for him. Ends his career here at Sevilla. Fourth most appearances all time with 323. He finished 13th all time in goals scored with 51 goals. And second all time in assist with 63. He played 22,676 minutes for this club. So congratulations to you, Rakitic. I hope you get a huge payday there and finish your career still playing. Awesome player. Really, really good. Often underlooked, I think, at what he contributed to Barcelona when he left us the first time there. Really good player. The only other thing I'm going to say before we start getting into some fun topics, hopefully, the other thing that happened, the change, Jose Castro leaves Sevilla as club president, giving the reins over to Del Nido Jr. Carrasco. Castro leaves Sevilla with 5 Europa League titles and 14 final appearances, and I think it was 3 top fours in that time frame in 10 years. So his record is really, really good on paper results, but he does leave in a time where a lot of people are calling for him to resign anyway. So kind of a strange moment there in December when he left, but and then of course we've still got the old president stirring the pot, trying to get back control. So lots of drama still in the world of Sevilla land. Lots happened. Steve, what have you been doing the last month with Sevilla? What do you think? What's their problem? Can you fix it?
Well, those are different questions. What have I been doing with Sevilla? Beating my head against the wall. Losing hope at an exponential rate. Trying to find any kind of, you know, silver lining to this storm cloud. That's all really negative sounding. Realistically, what I've been doing is, oddly enough, enjoying the games as they're happening. This team, even though we're not getting results on the field we want to get on the field, I would say is probably playing more exciting football than we were at this point last year in league, and definitely more exciting football than we were underneath Lopetegui in his final year. It's unfortunate that we're not getting the results and we're not getting the kind of positive kind of exposure that comes along with that. But I really like the fact that we are skewing younger and younger. It seems like every week we're bringing in and we're featuring younger and younger players, finally moving on from these older players that the three of us and then pretty much everybody else on the forums has, you know, been talking about for the better part of the last, you know, half a decade, is that we are too old, we are too slow, we are holding on to these club legends for too long, and they're kind of past the prime. So that's kind of where my focus has been with Sevilla. Has been trying to like find the little things that are going well that we can kind of hang our hat on. Hasn't always been the easiest over the last month and a half, but I've got to find something enjoyable with it. Otherwise, it'll just become another chore and another job to do, and I don't want that to happen. What's gone wrong? I don't know if we can answer that in the time that we have left here, Chris. I think that the last topic, though, that you mentioned is really the biggest thing that has gone wrong, and that's the front office, the presidency, the drama that's going along with that. I don't think that this change with Castro stepping down is going to change anything. If I remember correctly, he stepped into the vice presidency, right? He stepped from president to vice president, and the vice president stepped to president. And this was not anything that was, you know, set off or set in motion by recent events. This was something that was kind of agreed upon when Castro took over a decade ago. So this is all kind of predetermined. And even if our previous president, even if Donito were to come back, I don't think we would have any kind of change to the way that this club is structured and the way this club is run. I don't think we will see any kind of meaningful impact and positive steps forward in the grand scheme of things until we kind of clean house of all of this, because I think that it's past its point where it's kind of a novelty, and it's very quickly becoming has very quickly become, it's not even becoming anymore, it's already there, a detriment to this team from the top down. It's almost impossible to kind of overstate the amount of kind of handicap that we've given ourselves with all this drama. You can see it first, like we lost Monchi over the summer. Had the work environment been better for him, had he felt empowered in the work that he was doing, there's no doubt in my mind that he would have remained, with how much he loves this club. Now you can say that might be a good thing or a bad thing that he stepped away when he did, depending on what you feel about Victor Orta and the work that he's done. And I think there's some arguments to be made that he has kind of given this team a shot in the arm, at least with some of the younger signings that he's made and the prioritization of younger players. But regardless of that, Monchi should never have left in the manner that he did. He never should have been pushed out that way. And then right below Monchi and the sporting director, you've got all the coaching changes. There's no reason that a team that has had this much success over the last decade or decade and a half in La Liga and in Europe should be going through, six or seven coaches in two calendar years. That is not something that falls on anybody's shoulders except for the front office. If they can't decide on who's going to be leading this team and they don't have their acts together to have some kind of line of succession and succession plans for the coaches that we currently have, we're only going to be in a spot that's similar to where we are right now. Like, we're not going to ever advance from that. And all of that combined makes a atmosphere where we've got players like Fernando kind of kicking us when we're down on the way out the door. Whether or not that's right. I mean, obviously, I think that you mentioned it, Chris. And I think we can all agree that there's a certain amount of truth and probably a large amount of truth in his statements as he was leaving. But it breaks my heart that he left that way. And we've got longtime legend players that are leaving and considering leaving that are not feeling like this club is a spot where they see any kind of future anymore. Especially because we're only 3 years removed, I think, from kind of an awesome, because it was the year that who was it? When did we have everybody leave? That was the year that Vaklik left. They had the Thomas Vaklik left, Eva Benega left. We had all of these key players that left, and they left on a high note. They left in we threw big celebrations for them as they left. And we celebrated their time with the team. It feels like that time is done, and we're just kind of, kicking players to the curb as they age. And we're not taking the time to celebrate things. And all of that is a culture thing, and that culture thing starts at the top. So until that changes, I don't think we can make a whole lot of changes on the pitch. Luckily, I mean, depending on how you look at it, we don't have a lot of competitions anymore. Like, we have La Liga. There's nothing else to focus on. So if we do get our act together in a competition, it's going to be one that matters. So we'll see what happens with that. But until that change happens at the top, I don't have a lot of faith that we're going to be having a lot of happy years in front of us. That was a long, long-winded
Yeah, no, it's great. There's some really good points out of that, and I'm glad you took the time there, because it brings up some discussion points, and a lot of it's been happening on the Monchi's Men forums too, and around, you know, club legends leaving the team early after their, you know, before their contract's done. Speculation on why that is. Your speculation seems to be around that they just are looking for. They don't feel welcome anymore. Is that kind of what?
Yeah,
what
you're and saying, like I don't know, like the whole Fernando incident, like not incident, I say incident, but the whole situation surrounding him. A big part of it was that we needed to get Romero into the top squad, because he had basically aged out of the B squad. Had he played a single match on the top squad, he couldn't go back to Sevilla B because he's 23. So we needed to find a spot for him. So I think that probably expedited the process. I have no, like, don't get me wrong, I have no issue with us moving on from these older players. As I've been saying for months and for years, really, we need to move on from them. We need to inject the youth and the playmakers into our squad so that we can move forward. Because these players are only getting older. But that being said, we don't need to move on from them in a way that they feel like they need to take parting shots at the team as they leave.
Fernando was tough, right? Like Fernando's, when he left, it was, I don't remember the game it was, but you know, they kind of trotted him out there by himself. Yeah. Before the match with his shirt, with how many appearances he had, and like no representatives from the club were there. Now it was pouring rain. Like,
yeah, but I mean, still, like there was very little fanfare leading up to it online too.
Yeah,
like, it's, like,
and he didn't have the regular like press conference, like, you know, Rakitic just had. Like he didn't have that final moment of, you know, where we've seen so many players over the years get up there and cry and be like, oh, I'm Sevillista for life. I mean, we didn't see that with Fernando, and I thought that was a little strange.
And it's like these players, they're going to know, like, the fact of the matter is they're getting older. They know better than us, probably, that their time being a top contributor at our club is probably coming into an end very soon. But the fact that they don't feel welcome, or the fact that they feel like, the locker room or the training ground or wherever they are at a given time has a toxic atmosphere that they just don't want to be around. Like that's the part that really rubs me the wrong way. And it kind of breaks my heart. Like, it's like you can be going through tough times as a team and still be like kind of facing the consequences of poor play, but still be a strong team and have a good mentality. But I think that just with all of the drama with the presidency, with the changing of the football director, with the multiple different coaches, like trying to put a different style of play, kind of into like infuse life in the team in different ways. Like there's no stability. There's nothing that these players can hold on to and like call their own. Like there's nothing at this team that should be holding them here or that is holding them here except the name of the team. Like the coach that they like to play for is gone. The players that they like to play for is gone. The fans are turning on them. Like it's, I don't blame them for leaving.
But there's also the business side of it for the players though. Both of these guys that we're talking about didn't have contracts after June. So they're looking for that next payday.
Yeah,
as well,
like no,
right?
And like I said, I don't fault them at all for that. But like,
well, that's what I mean. Yeah. Like, is it that they didn't feel welcome, or is it that hey, I've got an opportunity to go and get another paycheck? And this is in Rakitic's case.
Yeah.
I don't think we've pushed Rakitic out. I think that we're okay with him leaving because one, we lose a ton of salary on the books, and this is just my opinion. I don't think we minded Rakitic being there another 6 months and retiring as a club legend. Yes, we benefited tremendously with him leaving by losing salary, gaining a roster spot that we can use.
Yeah.
And the salary part of this is huge. I mean, that's huge because we are already either over or right at the salary cap for La Liga. So we had to drop salary if we wanted to bring anybody else into the club. So
yeah, and
that's one reason we see some of these guys on loan.
I think that these players leaving is a good thing. Like, and I think that the them leaving and getting paid, well, I don't know how much Fernando's getting paid in his boyhood club, but I know that another Rakitic is going to get a bag right now. I don't fault him at all. I think it's the right decision, but I think it could have been handled better from like a PR point of view. Like, I don't know. That's just my thought. Like, it's, I feel like,
I think they're different, right? Like, I think the club handled Rakitic just like they would anybody else.
Yeah.
Fernando seemed like kind of thrown away, and
which is a shame,
in my opinion. That's what I thought.
Yeah, which is a shame because I mean, he's a captain of this squad, or was a captain of the squad, and I don't feel like he was given the respect that he was due.
Two Europa League wins, yeah. Like, yeah, huge part of the squad. But Eddie, I haven't seen you post anything on the forums or talk about this much at all, so I'd love to get your insight on kind of what we're talking about there, mainly around those two star players, what your opinion is, and then also if you want to kind of talk about, like, where do you see, like, our current problems, and are you seeing any signs of us getting out of this funk?
Do I see any signs of getting out of this funk? Only through Isak Romero and perhaps Luke Bakio's return, but that might even be a question mark as well.
Do we know when that is, by the way? Have we heard anything about that injury?
It was an MCL, right?
Yeah, I think it's so MCL torn or strain. Either way.
I think it's a strain. But in my head, it was at least 3 months.
Yeah.
Because everybody else is returning except for him. Thankfully, we're getting players that are returning. I mean, Acuna returning is good news for me. Because I always say that fullbacks, I think they run the most. I don't have the stats for that, but like they have to sprint up and down the pitch. So just having one left back in Pedrosa, who just came off like a long-term injury. So it's very important to get Acuna back, and Navas as well. You know, Navas is always, I'm still surprised that he's still able to suit up. But on the subject at hand, with regards to Fernando and Rakitic, I think it was always in the plans, like you guys mentioned, for them to leave. Probably in the summer, they're probably hoping other players would leave before they had to make that decision. And I think it's just the difficulties of the January transfer window and how much work needs to be done with the squad. Since last summer, not this summer, but the summer before. So it sucks to see a player like Rakitic and Fernando leave in January. But it's a business, right? So it's not always going to end up the way you want it to. And Rakitic, I feel like the writing kind of was on the wall when Kike wasn't selecting him anymore. He kind of made a point of that. And he's playing other players ahead of him, like Rakitic starting on the bench. You can kind of just see it, and even in his game, I felt like he lost a bit of confidence because he knew his time was up, or that the coach wasn't going to count on him anymore. He had to move on and make way for these youngsters because, yes, squad positions are limited. We were only able to get Isak on the squad from Fernando leaving, so it was a blessing. Hopefully we make use of those the number 10 that's available right now. In terms of the youngsters that have come in, Agume, I still need to see more. I wasn't able to watch majority of that Osasuna game. I kind of only seen up until Isak scored. But from what I've seen of Agume, I'm not really sure yet. He's not as active as Sumare is. in terms of in the midfield. He seems kind of flat-footed to me, but he's just safe, you know. So we'll see as he gets more games. Hannibal, I guess there's some tension there. I don't know if you guys seen it, but he was kind of shouting at someone in the game that he featured in.
Yeah, I missed that game.
Was that a Copa game? Was that a?
Nope.
I think that was against Getafe when he came on.
No, it was the. Was it the?
Or Girona? Was it Girona?
It was the Girona game because I missed that game completely.
Damn, that's the wrong game to be doing that in.
Yeah, I'm glad I missed that game too.
Started off really well.
I get that. Yeah, he looks good, but he needs to play, and perhaps his behavior is an issue. Who knows? I don't want to believe all that. It could just be paper talk, but there was something. But, I mean, that happens with every team, right? And things aren't going too well right now. But I'm optimistic about Hannibal. He just needs to get games. I mean, Marcao is playing, right? Marcao is playing and playing well in terms of being a distributor as well. That's why I like him, because
he's left so footed. Much
to his game that I want to see.
Yeah, left footed.
In terms of
something we don't have anywhere. The only guy is left footed in the back line. So.
I forgot just how aggressive he is, too. Like, he's a really aggressive player. You put him next to Sergio Ramos, and it's just like, what is going on in that back line?
But I think he still needs time, right, to get back at 100%.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's kind of the elephant in the room. Our defense is like I've said on the boards, like, what's the use of having Isak score when we're just going to leak goals? And we're not the type of team that's going to outscore other teams. I mean, the one result that kind of reminded us of this was it the Alaves game?
3-2, Alaves.
We brought it back. We brought it back to 2-2, and then they score the third goal. It's like, that's kind of what I see of this season. We might score, and our creativity issues aside, I mean, we're able to get back to level pegging, but yeah, our defense, man, is just a shambles. Whether it's having youngins like Nyanzu, and Bade is not really playing the same. I think it's just him coming off injuries. He still has decent moments, so it's not like he's terrible. I'm not putting him in the same boat as the other guys, no way. I still see him and Marcao being the future of the defense, but Ramos, man, it's not working. I mean, I appreciate Kike making it a back three, because we need the protection back there, but it's a glaring weakness. And I don't know if we're gonna build on a culture of a solid defense if we have a player like that that just can't compete at this level. I mean, he gets like that goal from Dubrick. I messed up his name. The Ukrainian dude from Girona.
Which one?
The third goal. the third goal in, again, that was
the third of five. Pick one.
Sheesh.
The third one in 6 minutes of his, yeah.
Oh. And I'm not really down on Dimitrovic. He hasn't been great, but I still think he could be a good keeper. He's not terrible. I could still see him improve. I think Nealon is all right. I don't think he's been bad for us since we got him. I think that's just the expectation we had of him coming into the club. People really don't trust him. I understand it, because he's been a third string keeper for the last several seasons. So I understand people doubting him, but he's been decent. Dimitrovic, yeah, I think it's a team-wide thing. The defense doesn't work. The midfield is mediocre. And the forwards working with scraps. So thankfully, Isak is doing what he does. And being a Sevilla kid, like, that helps us a lot, man. Because, you know, like, you could tell the fans really wanted him to, like, from his first game, like, the standing ovation he got.
Yeah.
You know, like, the entire stadium is backing him. And for him to return that, like, immediately, it's insane.
It's crazy.
You love to see it.
Four divisions different. Like, you're jumping up four divisions, and then you come in and score four goals in five games. Come on. I mean, that's impressive. Especially that goal this week. Like, this weekend, that was phenomenal and something we haven't seen from a striker in this this team since Ben Yedder, maybe? Like,
yeah.
I can't think. Ben Yedder is the only one that comes to mind that we've seen that since. But, well, I mean, we got a little bit of good news today, I guess, with Morocco bowing out. So we'll get Yen back as well. So it's not going to be all up to Isak. Hopefully. How do you see Yen coming back into the squad? Do you see him fitting in as a second forward there? Or is it going to be, you know, us still playing with Ocampos and Isak and maybe Ocampos and Yen?
It'll be interesting what Kike does because he's been playing like a front two with Ocampos and Isak. Maybe he plays Isak with Enesiri. Or maybe he plays Isak out left and Ocampos out right and Yen through the middle. We'll see. I think it should be interesting. I think him and Yen could have a good partnership. I wanted to bring this up, January transfer windows. I am speaking with Americans here, so do you guys think Gio Reyna is coming to the team?
Tyler, what do you think?
I keep seeing rumors that he's in talks and they're in the final stages, and, you know, I don't know. I don't really trust it too much, but I feel like more so than anything, I'm more curious, like, what his having an American on the team, what that does for, like, fan culture. Like, do we see an uptick in the forums? Like, I think Giovanni Reyna as a player, like, I could take him or leave him. I think he can bring excitement, but I feel like from what I've seen, he brings a lot more drama. He's had a lot of injuries over the years, so I don't know if he's really worth spending the money on, but I am curious if they do, what that has as far as Sevilla's, what effect that has on Sevilla's image in the States.
I think it'll only increase Sevilla's image in the States, just with the, I mean, even his last name brings name recognition just from his father, and then you get the unfortunate drama that happened during the World Cup with him. I'm excited about the possibility of it. And then with Rakitic leaving, there is a hole in that position there. Tyler, you bring up a good point though. Like, he's hurt a lot. Like, it's been a long time since he could play a full season. I'm not too worried about the off-field drama or the other stuff that's going on. Like, the kid's 20 years old. Like, he's coming into his own. He's really young. I don't think that he's going to be a superstar at the club level. I like what I've seen from him on the pitch for the national team. I'm not entirely sure why he would want to leave Borussia Dortmund at this point. If in fact he does want to leave, I think that it's a good possibility that he could come to us. The other club that's kind of in in talks with him is Nottingham Forest in the Premier League. They're in the same position we are right now, just barely hanging on to the top 17 spot to stay. And I think Marseille was rumored as well. So they're struggling too, and it's in the French league. And I know that Reyna has mentioned before that he would like to play in Spain or would like to play in the Premier League. So it wouldn't surprise me if he came to Nottingham Forest or us. I'm not holding my breath for it, but I wouldn't be opposed to it. But I wouldn't necessarily. I don't want us to go the way to get him. The fact that he's an American doesn't necessarily excite me more than the promise that I think he does bring, just being so young. And he has a pretty electric player in the middle of the field when he's healthy. That being said, given our history of signing players with questionable health histories, maybe we should, you know, let this one pass us by. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, interesting. I kind of feel the same as you guys. Like, I don't trust the rumors. It's a very expensive player. I mean, 20 million current market value on transfer market. Is he coming on a loan? I think it would have to be a loan. I mean, we don't have that kind of money to splash on a player. And
presumably, that value is just going to go up, though. Like, he's a.
Well, it's dropped from 42 million. Sorry.
I mean, I think 42 is probably a little high, but I think 20 million is probably pretty fair for a player that has the promise that he does. That's 20 years old. I think that's pretty fair market valuation there.
Yeah. No. I don't. I'm not. Yeah, not saying that at all. I just don't know that we can afford that. And no. do we get a bump out of 6 months? And is that what we're trying to do, is get social media bumps now? I mean, I kind of see that with the current president talking about that all the time in the damn press. Like, oh, we've increased our social media three times. Who cares? Like, you got to win, man. Like chasing players just to do that, this doesn't make any sense. But, with that said, the guy is a dynamic player on a given day, and we've seen him score wonderful goals with the U.S. men's national team and with Borussia Dortmund. And he kind of fits in a position that we don't really have anybody in, and that kind of attacking midfield. And he can play out wide if we need him to. So I don't know. It's an interesting thought. I don't know how many American fans are like, oh, I'm a Rania fan. Like, am I like pumping his? Is that the best player we could get from America? I don't know, but it is. I mean, it's a great point, and I've been wanting an American on this squad for a long time because I know that we'll benefit from it. Us personally, as Montese men and Sevillistas worldwide, but also Sevilla recognition and viewership will definitely increase, and maybe we'll get some cool swag finally in the U.S.
I think that it's just a matter of time before we do get an American there, Chris, especially with Victor Orta and the history that he's had with some of the teams that he's kind of put together. Monchi didn't necessarily like the North American market for scouting purposes, and I think that's pretty well documented.
The U.S. market. He didn't mind dipping US, into the Mexican market a little bit.
Sorry, the U.S. and Canadian markets. Like, it's like he didn't put a lot of stock or a lot of value in that. And I think he was, you know, not necessarily wrong to do that. But Victor Orta doesn't necessarily have those qualms. So maybe we'll see him take a flyer on somebody. But to answer your question, not a quick question, but to respond to your point there about not being able to afford some of the other players or how much Reyna's worth. I don't think that we could get another American player that's better than Reyna at a like better value. I think that 20 million for Reyna is pretty fair value, and if we were going for an American for that, I think that he'd be a pretty safe bet at that point.
Yeah. All good points. I think that's fair. Market closes in 2 days now. La Liga extended it by 24 hours, so it closes officially on February 1st at 11:59 p.m. instead of January 31st, 11:59 p.m. So Orta's got a little bit of time to work, got some free salary there. I don't know. There's been rumors of strikers. There's been rumors of... It's about all I've seen, actually. Strikers and then Reina is about the only rumors I've seen. And Eddie, do you think we need to go for another striker? Even with moving out, say we do for somehow, some way move Mir. And let's ask you this. Do you think we should move Mir and Mariano?
And Mariano, yes.
Yeah. So both of those guys go out. Do we have to bring in another striker, or do you want to see a different position come in?
Maybe a more dynamic forward like Luke Bacchio that's versatile. But I could see him playing centrally. It's kind of, I guess, in the same boat as Isaac. He could play centrally or out wide with a forward. But another attacker, yeah. But I guess we might be going for another attacking midfielder. So if we're bringing in another midfielder, then sure, I wouldn't mind another striker. Because if it's just Enesiri and Isaac, I feel like we would need one more. Seeing that we might be playing with a front two, I think we'd need another one.
That's interesting. Yeah. And what do you think, Tyler? Same thing?
Yeah. again, I don't like to go off rumors, but it sounds like we've almost finalized the deal with Bosnick. Is that his name? It sounds like it's just paperwork and final deals, and it sounds like tomorrow he'll be announced. And I mean, it sounds like he's promising. He's 15 appearances. He's started every game, I think. Yeah, started every game, 19 appearances, 19 starts, 7 goals, 2 assists, and he's playing almost full 90 in every game. So he won't add a lot on a defensive side, but, I mean, you don't really expect that from a striker anyway. But it sounds like he's, got that knack to find the goal as well, I think if we're going to – I'd love to see – Enesiri and Isaac up top together, and hopefully finding a way to complement one another. So yeah, I think bringing another striker in, just to have one more in rotation, is definitely something we would need when Mir and Mariano do depart, hopefully tomorrow. I did also see that we're starting to look into a an attacking midfielder out of Lazio, Daichi Kamada. Don't know too much on him.
What word?
Whoa.
Sounds like again another attacking center mid. So I think those two positions could help out a lot. I mean, defense. I'm not a technical person when it comes to this sport, but. I find it would be difficult to find a place to start in that defense, especially the way that they keep bringing Sergio Ramos back. And I'm a Sergio Ramos fan. When he went to PSG, I was like 100% coming to Sevilla. He loves poetry. He's gonna start. He's gonna end it where he started. But he is just. I wish he would have done that 2 years earlier, and we got a little bit more out of him. but yeah, defense. I mean. I feel like we need solid 5 people to come on defense. So, filling those holes in the middle and attacking side, I think, would be a good place to go.
Yeah, that's interesting. The The good thing about Sergio Ramos is he's suspended the next match, so we don't have to. He's not playing. Yes, I'm so happy about that. I have been nagging him all year long because I could almost bet if you went back and looked at all of our goals, he is contributing to 75% of them, mismarking or causing the foul that led to the set piece or some craziness. I bet you could have, and that's just me guessing, but it just seems that way. He's I love his attitude. I love his fire and his fight. It just isn't enough, unfortunately. So 2 years ago, yeah, you're right. You've probably been awesome. But we're coming up on almost an hour here. We've definitely talked about a lot of stuff. But I do want to give a few moments here to something Eddie brought up a little bit ago, and that was the other teams in Sevilla. And we've got two really special teams right now that wear our badge that are performing and doing really well. And we'll first start talking about the women's team. We'll let the women go first there. And they've been on a roll. I think they've won three in a row, if I'm not mistaken. And they're sitting like sixth on the table, I believe, right now. And with a chance of moving up very, very soon. They've got a big game coming up this coming weekend against Madrid CFF. That's a big match. They are currently 3 points ahead of the Sevilla women. So after this match, we can see ourselves, see our women tied for fourth in La Liga, which is by far the best they've done forever. Yeah, I was right. Three in a row they've won. They've won four out of their last five, I believe. So playing really excellent ball. Just phenomenal. Won this game on Sunday against Eibar 3-0. Martin Prieto with two goals. She's just a beast. Unbelievable. And that's without, I think, the kid. I think the kid got hurt, so she's not been playing. What's her name? Igma? What's her name?
Inma Gabarro.
Yeah. I think she got injured, so she's been out for a bit. So pretty impressive for this run with the girls. And then also this would be Atletico. Their streak isn't as impressive, but they continue to be top of the table of their group, if you will, whatever that group is that they're in. We're talking about transfers. There was some transfers for Sevilla Atletico that are actually could end up being impactful to the first team. Those guys brought in Stanis Adumbo Muzambo from Ajax, and they paid $400,000 for him to come in, which is kind of rare to see in a lower division team. But he's 18 years old, and he scored on Saturday. Opening goal. Is that right? Yeah. Oh, he scored the opening goal. I saw him. I actually watched that game on repeat because it was semi-live. I went back and watched a little bit that I'd missed. But anyway, I was super impressed with him. He was tracking back. He loved to have the ball at his feet. Made some really cool passes. Plays on the left side. Is kind of a left winger, left mid, if you will. I was super impressed with him. We also brought in a guy from Manchester United. What was his name?
Mateo Mejia.
Who's listed on transfer market as a right winger, but he actually slotted in as the striker. He's wearing the number 9 for this club, and he also scored. His goal was a kind of a tap in from a long distance shot by Lulu, I think is his name, defender for the club. He struck a really well ball from really far from deep, and the keeper kind of spilled it, and Mejia tapped it in. So both of the new signings getting on the board, and then the guy that's been there for a while. Oh, man. Name just left me. Help me out.
Musa. Oh, the third goal,
He got the third goal. It was a pretty spectacular error by the keeper there. But he's been playing really well this year, too. So, and then Zarzana's back. I don't remember when he actually came back, but he's had an excellent year. I think he was out for a little while, and he played really well the other day, too. I was actually surprised. I was looking at the stats, and the captain, Miguel Capitis, he's leading the team in assists. He's got like 10 assists for the team this year. So that's another one. He's 22 years old, plays attacking mid. Somebody to keep an eye on there.
There's a few gems. There's a few gems on that team. I think it's just about them getting minutes. Mm-hmm. So I like the fact that they chose to play for Atletico, Mejia and Idubo.
Mm-hmm.
They need the minutes, because I was watching part of that game as well in the first half. Some stuff were a bit sloppy, you know, mistakes that you get punished for very easily in the top leagues. So for them just to get, you know, some touches, and like even Manu Bueno, I would like to see him get another chance to feature with the first team. And you mentioned I love Zarzana. I love his drive.
Mm-hmm.
Always wants to get to the box, take on players. Idumba looks interesting. Mejia, I guess we still have to see what he's capable of, but willing to get at the end to make runs and get at the end of passes. I still have to see more of Atletico just to get a better gauge of other players like Musa and them. But there's some good looking players there.
Yeah, I thought Musa had a kind of a bad game. He just seemed a little down. I think he got really frustrated throughout that match. But then he ended up getting a goal. And I said they're top of the table. They actually are second in the table behind Yeclano, who's first at 43 points. Sevilla Atletico is at 41 points. But still up there, still fighting. I was really happy to see us invest into that club with these new signings, because I think that's the future of Sevilla. I think we've got to go back to our roots. We've got to go and get these guys playing in a higher division where they're getting games against better players. And that's how it's going to be, I think, for this club in the future. We've got nice new training facilities opening up soon. And I think the president said we spent like $14 million on. So let's put it to use with these guys and get them going and lead us back to glory, hopefully. And hopefully that's not in the second division of La Liga. So, guys, what do you think? Are we going to stay up?
Yes.
Yeah. 100%.
Without a doubt, right? We're getting 100%. No, I like it. We have to. That's what I said on the forums. We have to. We have no other choice. It would be financially disastrous if we drop. So we have to. Whatever it takes.
And if I may ask a quick question, sorry.
Go ahead.
Will Kike Sanchez Flores be brave enough to bench Sergio Ramos this season? Will it depend on what happens in this game? Or will he... It was easy to do it with Rakitic because he's not Sevillano for real, right? More Sevillano than a lot of people, but to bench Sergio Ramos, I know it's tough to do with his legacy and all that, but for what the team needs, do you think Kike will
do it? Who will you play in his place?
Another midfielder. I think Bade and Marcao will be fine.
You think so?
Yeah.
I'd like to see him, pull the trigger on it and see it. If he does bench him, I think that he'll probably be back, because I don't have a lot of faith in Markel to stay healthy. And if Markel does get hurt, then I don't know. Then it'll be Sergio Ramos again. Unfortunately, that's just. I like the player, but I don't have a lot of faith in him to stay in the field. So
he has to.
Yeah,
he's not going to have a job unless he does. We've won three games. Two of the three games Sergio Ramos missed.
Yeah.
Wow, really?
Yeah. So that's it. Like
that's still crazy to me. We've only won three games this season. That's still wild.
Three games.
I think I've only looked at the league table three times this season. I already knew how bad it was. It's like, I don't need to look at the table. For what?
In some ways, this season is like, it's a test, right? Like, how big of a fan are you? Like, this is a test. You know, Tyler said it earlier. I mean, he's with us till you die. Not everybody's like that. And you've seen, like, form traffic way down this year. And a lot of it's because of that. And I'm with them. I still suffer. I miss a game here and there, but it's very, very rare. And I still suffer. And it's... I still yell at the refs and wonder what VAR is even for. But it's not football. It's what, Eddie?
It's a travesty. That's what it is.
It's La Liga. Anyway.
It is what it is.
Jeez. Well, guys, this has been fun. We're definitely got to do this more often. Tyler, man, you've been awesome. Hopefully you'll come back and join us again in the future. Tyler's wearing a very nice hat, by the way. Sevillistas Worldwide merch is available. If you go to Sevillistas... Actually, I don't know what the link is. I'll have to put it in the description. It's been way too long, but I have no idea. So far I've been happy with what we've got. I've got a nice new Monchi's Men hoodie that came in that's kept me warm over the cold, snowy winter that we've had.
You're the furthest south of all of us. So.
I know. Stop whining. I did wear shorts the other day. Sorry. But yeah, thanks for joining us, Steve. I hope everything's good up there, man. Hopefully everybody's feeling better. Eddie, good to see you as always. Want to finish on a sad note. We lost three Sevilla fans on the way up to Madrid. They were driving up to Madrid in the Copa del Rey and had a car accident, and all three of the guys lost their lives. The club... celebrated and honored them with a moment of silence and a nice bouquet of flowers and jerseys there and the stadium stands and on the field. So just want to kind of take a moment and remember those guys just kind of let you know like how precious life can be. You're on your way to a football match, and then the next it's over. So, guys, everybody out there, thanks for being Sevilla fans. Thanks for being a part of this. I love you guys. If anything ever happens, know that. It means a lot to me that you're here and that everybody on the forums is always out there and continuing to keep it going and just chat when we're so far down. Rest in peace and vamos mi Sevilla.
Vamos campeón.
Y nunca te rindas.